Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage, that's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the famine coming to America when we come back. You know, if you live in a lot, or if you have a lot that's 50 by 100 feet with 2,000 square foot house sitting on it, you've got space for six raised beds that contain about 2,400 square feet. Now, that's called French intensive culture. And 2,400 square feet is enough space to grow all of the food that a family of five or six will eat in an entire year. That's right, 2,400 square feet for a family of four to six. And you can do it in the middle of the city just as easily as you can out in the country. The idea that you're trapped in the city and you can't provide for yourself and your family because of a space limitation is a fiction. And you don't need extra cash to buy tractors and plows and harrows. What you need is a shovel, a rake, and a hoe. That's more in line with what we need for an urban French intensive culture farm. We don't need lots of acres, combines, or price supports. We need pruners, newspaper for mulch, and open pollinated seed. That's right, open pollinated seed. Now, if you have 2,400 square feet or a backyard big enough for a decent garden, you can feed your whole family on your own land. And the program is designed by God to answer your questions with the most economical and practical solutions to your long-term food needs. And it has space-saving vegetables, so you need less land, less fertilizer, less water, less mulch, and less work. This is a program that has been designed with immediate food availability, only 28 days from seed to salad. And it has flowers to attract wild pollinators because of the loss of our honeybee population to chemical sprays and disease. Now, would you like to learn more about this program created by God called Agriculture? Agriculture. Why don't you call and ask for my free 4-hour CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Keep in mind that my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about famine. Now, when we talk about famine, we think in terms of Darfur in the Sudan with little hollow, empty-eyed children who are skin and bones and are physically starving to death because they don't have enough food to eat. But there's another starvation that's going on, and the number one country suffering from acute starvation is the United States of America. That's right. There is a greater starvation going on in America than there is in Darfur. Now, you know, the average guy, you're sitting there listening to this clown on the radio as you're driving to work this morning, and you're saying, this guy's got to be out of his cotton-picking mind. Now, did you remember the last program? We were talking about disease. And I showed you that what's happening in America is that the food supply, that is, the corn that you're eating from the grocery store, is lacking in nutrients. Lacking in nutrients. America is the sickest nation in the world. We have 27%. Well, it's 100 million people in the United States that are overweight or obese. 27% of the people of the state of Mississippi, who are the champions, that's one out of every four, is overweight or obese. Boys and girls, when you're overweight, that is the first sign of starvation. You have lots of physical food to eat, but the food is lacking in nutrition. It's lacking in nutrition, and that's the way Americans are being starved to death. The food, particularly corn, remember in the Steinbrom open-pollinated corn test, 75% more crude protein in the open-pollinated versus hybrid. Listen, in America, all of our food is hybrid. It's been hybridized. Now, they're going to carry this a step further. They're going to genetically engineer it, and they're going to give us more bins and bushels, more tons of food with less and less protein, copper, iron, and manganese than ever before. And they tell us that they are the saviors. Monsanto tells us that with genetically engineered food, we're going to feed the world. We're going to feed them with straw, because that's what this food really amounts to. It is the straw. It is the dregs. It isn't fit for human consumption. And Americans are starving to death as a result of it. Now, Americans have another problem. We have so much food that we, honest to God, believe that we're well-nourished people. and that everything is fine and everything is great. Genetic engineering, the Department of Agriculture, the Food and Drug Administration, Monsanto, the multinational corporations and McDonald's are taking real good care of us. Now, we Americans waste one half of all of the food that we produce in this country. Did you know that? Number one, if you take the physical amount of food, next time you go to the restaurant, pay attention to how much food is being wasted by the guy at that table, especially if you go to one of these smorgasbord type restaurants. Not only do people overeat, they're undernourished and they waste a tremendous amount of food. Listen to this story. As the United States celebrated Thanksgiving last year, a new study revealed that almost half the food in the country goes to waste, a statistic that should alarm an industry that is struggling to achieve greater efficiency in order to salvage profits. This new study from the University of Arizona in Tucson indicates that a shocking 40 to 50% of all food ready for harvest never gets eaten. Timothy Jones, an anthropologist at the University of Arizona Bureau of Applied Research in Anthropology, has spent the last 10 years measuring food loss, including the last 8 under a grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and Jones started examining practices in farms and orchards before going into food production, retail consumption, and waste disposal. Three sources. That is food production, retail sales, and consumption and waste disposal. Now, what he found was that not only is edible food discarded that could feed people who need it, but the rate of loss even particularly corrected, or even partially corrected, could save U.S. consumers and manufacturers tens of billions of dollars a year. Now, if you got your pen and paper out, boys and girls, write down this number. Here in America, we produce about $200 billion worth of food at the retail level. $200 billion, I think it was $206 last year. Out of the $206 billion worth of food that we could use, should use, and ought to be using, we waste 40 to 50% of it. Now, a lot of it is wasted out in the field. It's simply not brought to market. A lot of it is wasted in the manufacturing process. And then a lot of it is wasted by Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife when they throw it out because they can't eat all that they have. So here we have the spectacle in America of this great abundance of physical food by the ton, and we're the sickest nation in the world, starving to death because we're not getting enough nutrients. And everybody who dies from disease is dying from starvation. Now, let me repeat that in case you thought you might have misunderstood. As old George Bush would say, watch my lips. People who die from disease are dying from starvation because that's why they got sick in the first place. You see, if you had good, healthy, nutritious food, your immune system would be operating at 100% or near 100%, and you could not get sick. Sickness isn't caused by walking down the street, opening your mouth, and inhaling a breath of air, and you were unlucky and sucked in a virus or you sucked in a bacteria that's going to grow in your body. Boys and girls, your immune system is designed by a master designer, and any bacteria or viruses that get into your body, including hantavirus or bubonic plague, will be attacked by white corpuscles, arrested, and destroyed and thrown out of your body. Unless, of course, your immune system doesn't produce enough white blood cell. Unless your immune system isn't operating at its peak, or it's operating at such a low level that those bacteria and virus can take root, can take hold. And get this, when you die, your birth certificate, or excuse me, your death certificate in this case, does not say on your death certificate, died of starvation. It says you died of Alzheimer's disease, or complications of pneumonia, or you died from Parkinson's disease. They'll hang a label on the symptom that you had before you expired. But nobody's ever going to say you starved to death. And in fact, not very many people physically starve to death because some opportunistic disease attacks them and they die from the disease before they can physically starve to death from sheer want or neglect or lack of food. And that's the way the game is played. So Americans are being starved not by the physical lack of food as the people in Darfur or Chad or Niger or some other African country are suffering from. We're being starved to death in an abundance of food that has nutritional deficiencies in it. So our big seed companies like Monsanto develop seeds and then sell it to the farmer, who then grows it on land that is deficient in nutrients. And then they sell it to the grocery store or the manufacturer, who then cans it or does something to it and puts it out into the grocery store. You buy that food, you take it home, and you think, well, I'm going to eat this broccoli, I'm going to eat these Brussels sprouts, and I'm going to get nutrition. But when you cook it, you lose about 80% of the nutritional value that is contained in the fruit or vegetable. Now, the other day I went down to the storeroom, and I picked up 7 cans of canned fruit. I just had a hankering for a fruit salad, so I picked up 7 cans of 7 different fruits, and I took them upstairs, opened the cans, poured them in to a container, poured off the juice, and I took a look at this mishmash, and I said to myself, well, this is going to taste real good, but the nutritional value that I'm going to get from it is only 20% of what it would be if I were to eat these fruits fresh. Now, fortunately for me, I eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. Occasionally, I eat some canned fruits or vegetables. Most Americans eat all of their food cooked, and cancer is called the cooked food disease. In fact, in societies in where people do not eat cooked food, they do not have cancer. Let me repeat that. In societies, in groups of people who do not eat cooked food or do not eat very much cooked food, they don't have cancer. We Americans eat more and more cooked food, more and more processed food, more and more industrial food, and we have more and more cancer. Now, what does that tell you? Now, I want to tell you about a solution to that problem. I've said before, and I'll say it again. If there's no solution, you don't need to know what the problem is. There's a problem for America's starvation. There's a solution for America's starvation. The problem has been caused. It's already out there. We won't practice the laws of God. We won't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees. We are going to use chemicals. We are going to use sprays. We are going to use industrial agriculture. Now, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, that's the state of affairs. So I took a look at this and I said, well, I can go along with the crowd and die like everybody else, or I can buck the trend and see if I can live a little longer and bury everybody else. My goal in life is to live long enough to bury you. I don't want you to bury me. I want to bury you. Now, I'm going to die, but I'm going to die after you do. That's my goal in life. Now, going on with this, U.S. wastes half of its food. The fact that the U.S. is a wasteful nation is not necessarily news, of course. The country has long been chastised for its willful consumption of the world's resources, and many aspects of the country's culture encapsulate what environmentalists disparagingly refer to as today's throwaway society. Similarly, researchers have known for years about the volumes of food that Americans toss into the trash, but only recently, though, has that been quantified as a percentage of what is produced in the UA, that is the University of Arizona statistics, are the first tangible proof that U.S. food production is frighteningly wasteful. That's going to come back to bite us in the butt. A wasteful nation violates a true proverb that says, waste not, want not. Now, want is coming. Not only are we suffering from famine in America because of the quality of our food, but the day is coming when the actual quantity of that food is going to be taken away as well. And I mentioned that in the previous programs. I said, I can tell you that with assurance because it's been done before. What we are doing in the United States is what the Chinese and the Russians experimented with. We have these same corporate farms. Now, in Russia and China, they call them state farms. We call them corporate agribusiness in the United States. We have a different label for them, but it amounts to the same thing. We are going to industrialize our agricultural production until we run it into the ground and have physical shortages. That's what they did. That's what we are doing, and there's an outcome to that. An ultimate end. And it'll come back, and it'll be a time, or there will be a point in time when we will look back at this waste and we'll say, my God, I can remember going in to Bonanza, and I could walk up and down the lines, and I could fill my plate as many times as I wanted to with as much as I could stack on it, and I could just go and eat and eat and eat like a pig. I don't do that in Darfur. They're not doing that in Chad and Niger. Well, at least not this year. Now, tuck that one away in your heart, because in Bible prophecy, there are 101 places in the Bible that talk about or use the word famine. But there are several places, and I'll cover that a little later. When we get to the physical end of the food, that's Ezekiel 5 and 6, two chapters, Ezekiel 5 and 6, and Revelation 18. Revelation 6 also talks about one-fourth of the people on planet Earth when this great tribulation occurs, one-fourth, 25%, 1.5 billion people are going to starve to death. Physical starvation, simply not enough food. And one of those target nations is going to be the United States, along with Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. I'm going to show you that as we progress along, but I want to hit the highlights of the waste so that when this happens, you should look back and you should remember the great abundance and how we gave our God the finger, how we would not practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees. We would not practice the 15 agricultural laws, and we would not practice the 18 health laws. We gave him the finger, thumbed our nose at him, and this God goes ballistic every so often. He went ballistic at Sodom and Gomorrah and killed all the people that lived in those two cities. He went ballistic in the pre-flood era, that's called Noah and the Ark, and killed all the people on planet Earth. He went ballistic at the Red Sea and killed 450,000 Egyptian soldiers in one afternoon. I'm telling you that this guy isn't somebody to be thumbing your nose at or giving the finger to. And we Americans have been the number one culprit in giving this guy the finger. And he tells us in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, because you weren't thankful for all of the good things that I gave you. He said, I'm going to take them away from you. I'm going to turn your heaven to iron and your earth as brass. And the wanton waste that goes on in America is giving our God the finger. During World War II, I got to relate this little story to you, but during World War II, there was a crisis in food production and consumption in the United States. And we created a thing here called Victory Gardens. And everybody that I knew, as far as I know, everybody in America had one of these Victory Gardens. We were in the cities of New York and Chicago. If there was a vacant lot, the neighbors around there were digging it up and planting vegetables in it. And we lived off of those gardens. We supplied a huge proportion of the food that we consumed in the United States right in our own front and backyards. We didn't grow lawns and grass. We grew rutabagas and carrots. The chickens were in the backyard. In the front yard, it was dug up, and we were planting vegetables out there. Now, we didn't have ornamental trees. We had cherry trees and fruit trees that we ate off of. Well, going on here, he says, similar researchers have known for years about the volumes of food that Americans toss into the trash, but only recently, though, has that been quantified as a percentage of what is produced, and the UA statistics are the first tangible proof that U.S. food production is frighteningly wasteful. A certain amount of waste in the food stream cannot be helped, of course. Little can be done, for instance, about weather and crop deterioration. The apple industry, for instance, loses, on average, about 12% of its crop on the way to market. So next time you're in the supermarket and you look at all those apples that are in all those bins, remember, 12% of all of the apples produced in this country are lost to deterioration on the way to delivering them to your supermarket. Apples in the United States are harvested over a two-month period and then stored and sold year-round. People in the apple business use aggressive methods to maintain their crop, with fresh apples hitting the supermarkets on a regular basis and marginal ones sent to be made into applesauce and other products. The goal of apple growers is to provide a nutritious product year-round at fairly constant prices. And Jones says that they've adopted a conservative business plan that foregoes the boom and bust cycles that other fruit and vegetable growers aim for and opts instead for a steady income stream year-round. But Jones argues that the fresh fruit and vegetable growers, in contrast, often behave like riverboat gamblers. They'll take a risk on the commodity markets if they think it'll help them to make a financial killing. A bad bet often means an entire crop is left in the field to be plowed under. Jones' research also shows that by measuring how much food is actually being brought into the households, a clearer picture of that end of the food stream is beginning to emerge. On average, households waste 14% of their food purchases. 15% of that includes products still within their expiration date, but never opened. And Jones estimates that an average family of four currently throws out about $600 a year in meat, fruits, vegetables, and grain products. And Jones says that consumers better need to understand that many kinds of food can be refrigerated or frozen and eaten later. I want to point out that $600, get this, $600. Listen, one-third of the world's population lives on a dollar a day. One-third of the world's population. Write that down, boys and girls. That's 2 billion people on planet Earth live on a dollar a day. Americans throw out $600 a year, more than one-third of the people on this planet even have. We throw it out just in food. That doesn't count the furniture that you throw away or the amount of gasoline that you burn up frivolously driving around here and there. I'm just pointing out, not that you're not entitled to do so, but I want to point out that it's coming to an end. Peak oil has just about arrived. If it isn't already here, it's coming. The aquifers are going dry, population is going to double, and the available food supply, the production of the food supply on land in the United States is deteriorating at the rate of 5 million acres a year. Boys and girls, wake up. You got 400 million acres and you're wasting 5 million acres of it every year. 2 million to erosion, 3 million to parking lots and freeways. There's a limit now. I mean, you got a lot and you're wealthy people and you got a whole bunch that you can squander, but prodigal son, you have been squandering for a long time and there is an end. Jones says the consumers better need to understand that many kinds of food can be refrigerated or frozen and eaten later. Cutting food waste would go a long way toward reducing serious environmental problems. Jones estimates that reducing food waste by half could reduce adverse environmental impacts by 25%. And consumers and retailers are also, of course, responsible for minimizing food waste, but it's manufacturers who are being squeezed by high raw material prices and low retail sales that stand to gain most by establishing greater operational efficiencies to cut out unnecessary waste. Now, what happens here is that the farmer grows the potatoes. I remember I was in the business. And we signed a contract with the Eggo Potato Chip Company. And we went out and planted 20 acres of potatoes, and we got 24 tons to the acre. Now, that's a bunch. That's a big crop. What do we do with 24 tons to the acre? Well, we run them through, and the Eggo Company only wanted number one and number two potatoes for potato chips. That constitutes about one half of the crop, or 12 tons to the acre. So take 12 times 20. 240 tons went to Eggo at $3.50 a hundred, and 12 tons got plowed back into the soil. 12 tons went back into the ground. And why is that? Well, that's because the contract called for it. Why couldn't we leave those potatoes on top of the ground and call the poor people in to glean the fields? No. Gleaning comes from the Bible. Gleaning is a law of God. We had the law of the Eggo Potato Chip Company. We have the law of the Agriculture Department in the United States. We have an industrial agricultural system to support. So we take half of it and destroy it. And the other half we sell for a premium price for potato chips, snacks. not for the mainstay of food, as 2 billion people on planet Earth struggling to make ends meet on a dollar a day do. No, we're using those so we have something to go along with the beer that we're drinking as we're watching the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not being critical of you for having plenty. Wealth was promised to us by our God, but the waste of that wealth. Remember, waste not, want not. Now, I want to show you the solution to this thing of starvation in the United States, or famine in the United States, when we come back after the break. But let me give you a little quickie right here. 1/3 of all the cropland in Europe, 63 million acres, is being idled in the United States. Now, there's a total of 338 million acres of cropland that was used for crops here in the United States in 1991. 3 million acres less than the year before, and below the average of the past 5 years. Land used for crops includes acres harvested. U.S. cropland peaked at 387 million acres in 1981 after increasing to meet expanding export markets developed in the 1970s. Now, no land was idled into the farm programs in 1981 and only a small amount in 82, but by 1991, producers had idled over 63 million acres in annual programs, and the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, about 13% of U.S. cropland, that's equivalent to about 1/3 of the total arable land in the European community. So if you take the European Economic Community, the nations of the European Common Market, and you take all the land that they've got, the 63 million acres that we took out of production, reacts to or equals about 1/3 of their total amount of land. That's a bunch. Now, remember, we've got 414 million acres of land in the country. About 338 million is currently being used for crops. We're wasting 2 million acres a year on erosion and destroying it, and 3 million acres a year we are planting under parking lots and freeways. So let me take the 338 and just divide that by 5. That's 67.6 years, boys and girls, and we will have destroyed or paved over all of it. 67.6 years. Do you really think that we ought to continue on with that kind of waste? You know, I didn't create this, and I'm not here, telling you to quit. I'm just here to tell you, do you really think that that's very wise on your part? The story of the prodigal son in the Bible shows that the guy ends up in abject poverty. He has a lot of wealth, and he goes out and squanders it all. Do you think we Americans, just because we have a lot of wealth, should be out here squandering? And especially something as valuable as land, where that 6 inches of soil on that 338 million acres of land is the 6 inches of life that separates us from death? And you think we ought to be paving it over? Well, I'll tell you, boys and girls, when the land was in the hands of private owners, we weren't wasting it at that rate. But this land is now in the hands of the multinational super corporate farms, farms with thousands of acres. And it's an industrial process. We've removed the land from a biological process to an industrial process, and this is the results that come from it. And that's why I'm able to predict with certainty that famine, the physical shortage of food, is coming upon us like the prodigal son. 67.6 years left, and the clock is ticking. All right, we got to take a break here, boys and girls. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please visit our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archive. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so to order yours, just call the law school direct. It's 417-273-4967. One more time, 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, 417-273-4967. All right, now that we have reviewed the waste and the amount of land that we have available, how much has been set aside, and we're talking about famine. Famine comes in two forms. Number one, it's nutritional deficiencies. When somebody comes down, let's say, with scurvy, he's starving to death. He is short of a nutrient called vitamin C. When somebody is suffering from rickets, that's starvation. He is famished. He is suffering from a shortage of vitamin D. Americans are suffering from the greatest famine of any nation on planet Earth. We have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease in the world. Of course, we eat more fat than anybody in the world. And disease comes from two forms. It's either one, we're poisoning ourselves, or two, we're starving ourselves. Now, we have a physical abundance of food, but the physical abundance of food is notoriously deficient in the nutrition or the nutrition or the nutritive vitamins and minerals that we have to maintain our immune systems in good health. What do we do about that? What would you do to give yourself more vitamins and minerals? Is there anything that we can do? Well, the answer is, you bet. And the solution to the problem is from a juicer. A juicer. Let me read you a little story here. The benefits of juicing. In Seattle, Washington, or in trendy Southern California, on any given evening, you can find men and women still dressed in their business attire, sitting at a bar unwinding after a long day's work. They place their orders with choices ranging from straight carrot juice to combinations of all sorts of fruits and vegetables, wheatgrass, kale, dandelion, cucumber, cabbage, celery, beet, lettuce, parsley, mango, papaya, pineapple, watermelon, cranberry, grapefruit, and apple. Juicing. Meet the baby boomers. Welcome to yuppiedom, and say hello to the mainstream. Can I get a papaya mango cooler? Now, before you jump off the deep end, or before you shut the radio off and say, listen, this guy is totally or has totally lost it, let me share with you something that maybe you hadn't considered. A juice extractor. When a true juice extractor, blenders now are not included, but a juice extractor is used to separate juice from the cellulose fiber, you benefit from 90% of the nutritional value within 20 minutes. When eating the same produce, you only get 30% of the nutritional value in a 3-hour period. From the book Acquiring Optimal Health by Gary Price Todd, he says, fresh raw juices from your juicer is superior to any dead store-bought juice that has been pasteurized and processed. Many store-bought bottled juices are highly sweetened, conventionally grown, highly diluted imitators, and are essentially little more than sugar water. These products aren't too much more healthful than a soft drink, and they shouldn't even be called juice. Food values in North America farmlands have dropped considerably over the past 75 to 100 years. A juice extractor helps make up for that loss by concentrating a large amount of produce in a few ounces of liquid. Note, drink no more than 8 ounces per hour. Raw juices are extremely rich in alkaline elements, and this is highly beneficial in neutralizing excessive acids and creating an alkaline acid balance in your blood and tissues. The metabolic process is constantly producing acids, especially with a carnivorous diet. The lack of proper alkaline counterbalance will inevitably lead to an overly acidic body, making your body susceptible to all kinds of ailments. An acidic body attracts colds and flu, rheumatoid arthritis, and even cancer. Many Americans are highly acidic. Juices provide tremendous support for the metabolic process, helping to eliminate toxins, to detoxify from the body, and also increase the circulation. It is a powerful blood cleanser. I saw it firsthand with yellow patches on the palms of my hands. This is normal for most people who juice heavy, and it is associated with the liver dumping excess toxins. If you juice carrots, and you drink carrot juice, let's say you drink, I like to get about a 16-ounce glass. That's a pint. In about a week's time, you're going to see your liver detoxifying, and you're going to have yellow palms. It'll come out in the skin color on your hands. Just test it, and you'll see. Cooking vegetables destroys their living energy. Dr. Max Bircher Benner, MD, says that the plants derive their energy from the sun, and consuming live raw juices give the body the spark plugs of life. I'll pause right here and point out. Remember I mentioned to you a little earlier, I said I went down to the storeroom, and I got 7 cans of fruit. Now, ordinarily, I like to go to the store and I like to buy fruits. Now, I probably ate, this year, I probably personally ate 4 cases of cherries. Now, the cases are 25 pounds each. That's 100 pounds of raw cherries, personally. I've got an orchard out here that's full of plums. I've got wild plums. I've got persimmons that are coming on. This is going to be a big year for persimmons. And I'm going to eat a lot of them raw, right off the tree. But, you know, we don't have fruits and vegetables coming out every day. And if you live in the city and you're buying the produce, this is the produce that comes from the farms, the chemical farms, those fruits and vegetables are lacking in vitamins and minerals to start with. When you cook them, you destroy 80% of the nutritional value. Let's just take an example. Pick a carrot. Let's suppose that this carrot is organically grown and it has 100% of everything that God designed for carrots. You take it home, you put it in the pot, you cook it, and you lose 80% of it. Well, you still got 20. But you lost 80. Now, let's take that same carrot and let's go out and plant it on chemically fertilized ground. Ground that's going to produce 75% less protein in the carrots, 875% less copper, 235% less manganese, and so on down the list. There's 92 of these elements now that you need in this carrot. And then let's cook the damn carrot and you get 20% of that. You get 20% of about 20%. Now, can you see why we're starving to death? That's why in this program I'm going to introduce you to a wild new concept. Last program I said open pollinated heirloom seeds. That's number one. Let's get off the Monsanto genetic engineering crap and let's get good seed. Then let's take that seed and put it into good ground. I haven't got there yet, but we're coming there. Then let's juice it so that we can get the maximum amount of nutrition. Now, let me show you why this juicing is so important. How many carrots can you eat? Well, go test it. Go to the store and buy a bag of carrots. They come in 1-pound bags. Come home, sit down, wash them up good, and sit down and start eating carrots. And you know what you're going to get? You're going to eat 2 or 3 carrots, and that's about it. There's about 8 or 10 carrots to a pound. 8 or 10 carrots will make about 1 pint of juice. If you'll take that same 1 pound and stick it in your juicer, you can have 16 ounces of juice. That's 1 pint. You can sit there and sip on and drink that 16 ounces of juice and get a pound of nutrition. If it happens to be organic carrots, you're going to get 100% of 100%. Or what did this guy say? No, it was 90% of 100%. The carrot has 100%. It's got everything that God intended. And when you juice it, you can get 90% out of it. If you cook it, you'll get 20 or 30%. Now, let's suppose that you're overweight. You're one of those McDonald's addicts, and you're addicted to Big Macs, and you're gaining weight constantly. I was married to a woman, my first wife, married to a woman that had a weight problem. And she didn't eat Big Macs. She ate Burger Kings. Now, remember, this Burger King is 30% fat, and this poor woman is just gaining weight and gaining weight and gaining weight, and she's complaining about it. My God, I'm gaining weight and gaining weight and gaining weight, and I don't know what to do about it. She couldn't give up the hamburger lifestyle. She couldn't give up the junk food, and she continued to gain weight. I don't know how big she is today. If she's still alive, she probably weighs 600 pounds. Now, that's a tragedy, an absolute tragedy. It was a tragedy then. It's just as much of a tragedy today. Now, on the other hand, if you think that you can break the habit, what you need is nutrition. Why don't you stop starving yourself to death at McDonald's and start feeding your body with the nutrients that you need? Even if you're going to eat out of Kroger's and you're going to eat bad vegetables, at least take the bad vegetables and run them through the juicer and drink the juice so that you can get more concentrated doses of vitamins and minerals. That's what you're starving for. That's what you need. Now, going on, there's a little more to the story over here on this juice. He said, I saved the best for last. Oh, the number, let's see where I've lost my place here, number 7. Raw, fresh, organic juices are energizing, nutrient-dense superfoods capable of delivering an amazing amount of vitamins, minerals, trace elements, enzymes, and essential nutrients in a small volume. They're a highly concentrated bang for your nutritional buck and a great way to get in your recommended daily allowance of fruits and vegetables. Juices exercise beneficial effects in normalizing all of your body functions. They simply needed elements for the body's own healing activity and cell regeneration, thereby building a strong immune system. I got to pause right there and tell you a little story here. You know why you people are hungry all the time? I have people that complain to me and they say, I'm just hungry. You know, I went on this diet and I was hungry all the time. Well, let me tell you why. You're hungry because your body is crying out for these nutrients. If you want to just test it, take a test. Just go down to the store and buy some chocolate bonbons. My God, you'll love them. You'll love it. This is a diet that everybody can love. Chocolate bonbons. Sit down and eat until you puke. Okay? Just eat. You'll love it. Every time you eat one, you want another. You can never get enough chocolate. So just eat it until you puke. Now, when you puke, your stomach will empty out and you can eat more. It'll be kind of like a Roman orgy. See? And you can do that for hour after hour, day after day, and starve yourself to death. Kind of like a deer in an apple orchard. The old-timers used to say, a deer get out in an apple orchard and eat apples until she starved to death. Because that's all she'd eat, is apples. Couldn't get enough other nutrients. And they literally will starve themselves to death in an apple orchard. But being that you're a human and you've got a brain and you can think, let's test this another way. Stop eating the chocolate bonbons. Now go down to the Wild Oats juice bar every single morning. And do this now for 30 days. Just like this guy I told you about went to McDonald's for 30 days. You do this, a 30-day test. You walk in and you get a 16-ounce carrot juice every morning. If you don't like carrot juice, get some other, but carrot juice is probably the best. In 30 days' time, you not only will be losing weight, you will not be hungry. And the reason is, once your body starts getting the nutrients, the vitamins and the minerals that it needs, when you drink the juice, it goes into your stomach, and your stomach says, hold it, I don't want to eat anymore. I've got all the vitamins and minerals I can handle. You haven't eaten anything. All you did was drink juice. And it'll satisfy your hunger. It shuts off your hunger signal because you've got nutrients. Try it with Wonder Bread. You can sit there and eat Wonder Bread until cows come home, and you'll always be hungry. You can eat enough until your stomach physically is distended, and you can't get any more in it. That's what happens when you eat at McDonald's. You go into McDonald's, and they give you this super-sized portion. And you eat, you pig out, until you just can't get another bite down. And you say, God, I'm really full. I'm really satisfied. For about 3 hours. 3 hours later, you come back and say, oh my God, I'm hungry. My God, you have already eaten 2,000 or 3,000 calories, partner. You have eaten more than you ought to eat in 2 or 3 days. I mean, you can get by, you know, 1,000, 1,200 calories a day. In fact, during World War II, they used to limit you as a prisoner of war to 1,200 calories a day. And now they've jumped that up to 2,000. You know, we turned into a nation of pigs, and so you got to have 2,000 calories a day today. These McDonald's super burgers and some of their food combinations, you know, their meals turn out to be around 2,500 to 3,000 calories. That's one meal. Man, you could eat at McDonald's and take in 6,000 calories a day, boys and girls. Hey, if you don't think you're going to gain weight on 6,000 calories a day, and you'll be hungry all the time. You never can get enough to eat because there's no nutritional value in the food. That's your problem. Now, he says juices contain concentrated phytochemicals and antioxidants. Fresh carrot juice has long been noted for containing high amounts of beta-carotene, which is a known antioxidant. Now, you just plain feel better after drinking fresh, raw, organic juices, no matter what your state of health is. Now, he said, I saved the best for last. This is for people who are dealing with health issues. Dr. Richard Schultz of California is a famous natural healer, and he has cured many patients of serious health problems. Well, Schultz says on one of his videos that I have never seen anything or anyone make such a dramatic change in my patient's health than when using a juice extractor. Now, note, Schultz is not in the juice business. You can't buy a juicer from Schultz. Dr. Birch Benner discovered the same phenomenon as he worked with many of his patients. It led him to believe that there was nothing more therapeutic on earth than green juices. And the famous Norman Walker recovered from a serious health problem by drinking fresh juices and ended up living well over 100 years. Look at Jack LaLanne. He's in his 90s today. This guy has juiced heavy. He's 90 years old. He looks good. There are a number of other famous doctors and practitioners who use juice therapy as a part of their treatment programs. Dr. Ann Wigmore of the original Hippocrates Institute in Baltimore used mainly fresh wheatgrass juice for her cancer patients. Hungarian physician and scientist Alexander Ferenczi had great success with red beet juice. Max Gerson, MD, used juice therapy for his cancer patients when nothing else worked. And he had great success. See his book, A Cancer Therapy, Results of 50 Cases. And most recently, Dr. George Malkmus has attracted much attention with his Hallelujah Healing Diet, which includes drinking fresh juices daily. George healed himself from colon cancer with raw juices and diet, and he now teaches raw juice therapy to thousands of health ministers in his seminars. And he says, it is overwhelming to see the healings and changes for the better in all kinds of people suffering from degenerative diseases. Now, I'm going to add on to this one more testimonial. My wife, Jackie, when you call the law school, you'll get Jackie on the telephone. She has had cancer for 28 years. In 1978, they came to her. She went to the doctors, the allopathic medical doctors, and they said, hey, you got cancer. Too bad you didn't come in here a year ago. We might have been able to cut out enough organs that you could survive, but you're going to die. She went on the Wigmore program with wheatgrass. As I sit in my office, I look to my left, and outside is the original greenhouse that they grew the wheatgrass in. Upstairs on our counter is the old original Walker juicer, the old original Walker juicer that she used back in the 1970s. Now, juicers used to be pretty cumbersome. They were really kind of a pain in the butt. Our old Walker up there, you juice it, and then you take the pulp, and then you have to put it in a jack and press it. It turns out a good product. It's just a little time-consuming. But listen, I've got a student up in Illinois. His name is Brian Nevius. I'm going to give you his phone number. Write it down. Get this number down. His number is 309-473-2141. That's area code 309-473-2141. Now, Brian sells juicers, sells sprouters. He's been in the business for many, many years. And one day he came to school here, and I said, you know, I'm kind of tired of this Walker juicer, and he sold me a juicer. And this juicer, you just put the stuff in the top, and the pulp comes over to the side, you take it out and feed it to the chickens, and the juice comes out in the glass over here, and you drink it. That's how simple it is. They're simple, they're efficient, they're easy to clean up, and they're cheap. Cheap. Now, that number again, 309-473-2141. That's the juice man. His name is Brian Nevius, N-E-V-I-U-S. Very simple, Brian Nevius. This guy knows something about juices. I called him the other day and said, I want to put a program on the air and I needed a little information. He sent me to his webpage. Went to his webpage and pulled off some information here on this thing of, or he sent it to me. I forgot how it got here. Maybe it was an email. On this juicing subject. In fact, I just read a page here, the 10 reasons. My 10 reasons to own a high-quality juice extractor. Now, if you've got one, use it. For God's sake, use it. If you don't have one, get one. Whether you get one from Nevius or not, that's your choice. But get a juicer and start drinking juices. And remember this other guy over here, the Baker Creek heirloom seeds? If you've got some space in the backyard to stick some seeds in the ground, don't buy your seeds down here at the local nursery or down at the Walmart store. You want open pollinated seeds, the kind of seeds that God created that reproduce themselves. And that guy is Baker Creek heirloom seeds. And the number is 417-924-8917. Let's try that one again. Write these numbers down. 417-924-8917. That's Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. If you can't grow your own, go down to Kroger's and buy the crap. Remembering that the food value in the fresh fruits and vegetables that you're buying at Kroger's are probably at around 50% of what they would be if you had good open pollinated seed. But when you juice it, you can get 90% of the 50% that's there. When you cook it, you get 20%, 20% of 50%. Now tuck that one away in your heart, and let's see if we can't do away with famine in America, at least on a small scale. You can do away with your own starvation by drinking juices and using open pollinated seed. It's just that simple. No fuss, no muss. All right, remember Nevius, and this 309-473-2141, and Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, 417-924-8917. Now, I've plugged those two, told you why. Now, I've got to go. We're about out of time. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, just go to our webpage. We'll tell you a bunch right there. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Remember that The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about famine coming to America next time, right here on the Law Hour. Until then, good night, friends.